Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right. Good morning. Welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. Good morning. How are you, buddy?
I am doing wonderful. Thanks for having me.
Oh, you're welcome. Great day. Felt like summer was starting yesterday. I think it's starting to end again.
It's a lifestyle down here in Sussex County, man. We got beaches and then snow and then beaches again.
Yeah, and then we got a lot of people discussing it.
Yeah, it was last week or 2 weeks ago. I had my kids behind a sled, and then 2 days later, we were out in shorts and sandals. So,
you know. So are you that guy that pulls your kid around on a sled in a Jeep?
No, I pull him around in a Ford F-150. Okay. My brother and his daughter and my two kids, literally, we were pulling them on a sled, an antique sled that my brother found in his shed. It's like 60 years old, and it's all rusty and moving, and we have 6 and 7 year olds going 2 miles an hour behind a truck. So it's fantastic.
See, I'd be the guy that pulls my kid around and then he hits a mailbox and I'm like looked down upon by the whole state because I'm just that guy.
You know, it depends on how much lip they give you during the day, you know?
Yeah, right.
Take a sharp turn, hit the gas.
Well, listen, Dr. Brian Deptula from, and this is, you know, this is exciting because I think you guys actually reached out to me, which means that I've been doing a lot of hard work and it's starting to pay off.
Sure is.
So you're from the Canal Side Inn, downtown Rehoboth, 2 years Rehoboth Best?
2 years, Best of Delaware, best 2020 of Delaware. And 2021. Yep. We bought the inn in 2019, September. Well, basically October 1, we kind of moved in there. And then we took it over, my wife and I. We were literally taking reservations and signing transfer paperwork, running back to the attorney's office and checking guests in. It was a little bit of organized chaos, and we really enjoyed it. And then, you know, 4 months later, the pandemic hit, and we had no travel and all travel restrictions. So we worked our way through that, and here we are, winners of Best of Delaware 2 years in a row, hoping for a three-peat.
Yeah, and after listening to the conversation today, I will definitely have a feel if a three-peat is possible. meeting you already, I feel like you're a very driven man, so I'm sure that you guys are doing a great job down there. So where are you guys at? Because I'm familiar with Rehoboth. I've been here 25 years. Where's your spot?
So if you are coming in from Rehoboth Avenue, you go straight in over the bridge.
Mm-hmm.
That is
the canal.
The canal. You literally cross the canal. And that first street is Canal Street. We are at the end of that, about 200 yards down at the corner of Canal and 6th Street.
It's like exactly where you are now.
We're right behind Egg. So our building is like a golden triangle with Egg Restaurant, which is the best breakfast in Rehoboth. And then you have Rise Up Coffee. So we got good places all within, you know, 200 yards of our building. So it's a really great place.
No, I know exactly where you're at because I do a bike ride a couple times a week and I make that right. And then you make it cross. And so I see because you are, is it a triangular building?
It is not a triangular building, but we do sit, the roads converge into a triangle.
Yeah, that's cool. So I know exactly where you are. I'm glad you're on the canal, because that would have been a whole podcast of trying to figure out why you're the canal side and not next to the canal. So that's good.
So it's by good history, start. By way of history, in the early 1900s, our building was originally part of the Star of the Sea.
Okay.
And then, and this is all documented in the historical museum or historical society of Rehoboth and museum there. Across the street. And exactly, that's exactly where we are. And then our good friends down the street have some history that they actually try to work on about Rehoboth. And so they discovered a bunch of facts about where we came from. And so early 1900s, Star of the Sea. In the 60s, the hurricane comes through, washes away part of the boardwalk. Hmm. Then owners picked up the building, moved it to its current location because it was part of the building that it still exists. And then it was turned into, because it was 1969, the Moonwalk.
Wow.
It was then sold. And when
that was the name of it?
That was called the Moonwalk.
Okay.
And then it was sold to another set of owners. And those two ladies turned it into what was called the Sand in My Shoes. And after it was Sand in My Shoes, it was sold to another owner and turned into the Canal Side Inn, aptly named because of our location.
It's a funny little spot over there, too. Like, from that road down to kind of halfway around the circle, kind of inland. It's like this weird, interesting, eclectic little area. I moved here in 94, so mm-hmm. I've been here probably a little longer than 25 years. But, you know, they used to have the little cabins, and then you could rent the little houses. And I don't know how many of those are still around. I know that there were some, I think, by the Crystal, which is just up the street mm-hmm. from you, the original egg, right? That was the original breakfast spot. And I think they had some other cabins in there, but I think they may have been taken out when they built that new development in there. But it's an interesting, like, it's not far to get back in history a little bit over there.
No, it's fantastic. It used to be where railroads came in. They had some railroad ties still left there. And then those cabins were owned by some families that are still local in Rehoboth and actually living on our street and next to us on our corner.
So there's still the little cabins.
There are some leftover small buildings, but those have largely been modified now or torn down into and built into $2 million houses.
Yeah.
So it's beautiful there. One of the things that we hear all the time is people drive by and their eyes kind of turn towards the building and their mouths drop and they're like, you know, we heard about you, but we never knew where you were. And I tell you, as a business, it's not good to be a fishing spot, you know?
Like, no.
So now we're getting to the point where people recognize us. And because it's on the canal, one of the wonderful things about it is, and even when we were kind of living there, my wife and I and our two kids, we'd get up in the morning, the birds are chirping, people are driving their boats, their pontoon boats down the canal, there's people on kayaks. And so really, it's this kind of peaceful, serene place.
Oh, yeah.
It's close enough, you know, we're within 2 blocks of Dogfish Head, 1 block of Egg Restaurant, and you can walk with less than a mile, 3/4 mile to the beach. So people go straight to the beach, and then they can kind of walk home and mingle in all the shops and not have all the hustle and bustle of traffic and stuff.
Well, you take a ride on that road, and you go back 50 feet, and you're in a whole nother world. I mean, you have the hustle and bustle of that, you know, the avenue coming across that drawbridge, but you go in a couple roads, and it's like a different world.
It's peaceful, serene.
Big trees, large wood trees, and just love it down there. And like I said, we go, it's a little route we take through there, but absolutely know where you're at. So what's the story with the canal? Is it a canal taxi? What's going on down there by the, because you brought up the museum, which is great. You know, that used to be a liquor store. I mean, since 94, I've watched so many things change. And so, but now the museum, but we put in the canal. Is it a canal taxi? What's the actual name of that thing?
So there's a couple things that are going on, and this is all a part of the Lewis Chamber of Commerce. And there's a not-for-profit that is working on that waterfront property that basically buttresses itself the side of the museum. They put in a floating dock there, which you can take your own kayaks down.
Yeah, but it's sometimes locked.
So it is sometimes
locked. I want to get
locked
to the bottom of this.
I don't have an answer for you.
Oh, damn it.
What I can tell you is is that there's been some really great community work and some investment from the state, and that there's been a person that is on the Rehoboth Council that has worked very hard on this, also in collaboration with Dogfish. And they put in a lot of effort.
Was it the owner of Dogfish?
Well, they have some community outreach programs that are there, and they got some investment dollars. It's not my thing to talk on in terms of.
No, but listen, why not? I mean, I won't question you, but I do, because I've heard this from other people, and it sounds like, you know, it's a way to get folks from Lewis down to Rehoboth in the canal. Does it have an official name? The canal taxi.
I don't know what has been granted or not granted. I have not seen a commercial vehicle coming down there with branding and marketing and all of that stuff. So I don't know who is and who isn't. But what I can tell you is,
yes, tell me,
it's a great idea to bring people and reduce the road traffic and to bring them in there to the city, get up, walk straight down Rehoboth Avenue and start enjoying the shops and all the businesses. That'd be a great thing to have.
I agree. I don't bring it up because I'm, you know, disappointed or upset about it. I just would like to see, because I ride my bike, you know, I ride by there, and I'm like, I want to walk down there, and it's locked up. I'm like, what is this? I don't understand. I mean, I thought it was kind of a public thing. Sounds like there's more to it. Maybe we'll have to just leave it and find out more later, but I think it's a great idea. It should be running all the time. I think that You know, I don't understand why we're not utilizing it.
It is a great idea. And we take our kids kayaking down there. We launch off that dock. And I know that there's Quest Kayak has been granted some of the rights and privileges to actually rent kayaks, you know, from that plot mat there. Yep. And so Matt's been a great guy to work with. Actually, we do some work with him where we rent kayaks from the canal side in also. And so he and actually his brother is the one who's working with Dogfish that actually helped pronounce this wonderful activity. So I can tell you, when we lived in Fort Lauderdale, they had the water taxi there, which is now they call it the Venice of America, Fort Lauderdale, because there's so many in, you know, waterways and land. It's an incredible opportunity. It's fun to see the canal. If you ever go kayaking or boating down there, you can see beautiful houses all the time. So to actually get people from Lewis and into Rehoboth would be awesome.
I don't know why we're not doing it more. I mean, they do the – there is the – I wish I could – I knew what it was called. But I know that they do like a water taxi or a sunset boat ride down the canal from Lewis. I don't know if there's dinner served on there. I don't know exactly what goes on. First of all, it's not advertised very well. You wouldn't really know what the heck's going on. But it would be – I know there's something, right? Because I know we were going to try to reserve something last year, and it was pretty booked up. It was hard to get on. So – but I'm not sure. I don't know why we don't have boats running down that thing all the time.
I do know there is a party pontoon that goes up and down there, but I think that's a little different than the
That might have been my uncle.
Taxi. Was it you?
No, I was just kidding. It could have been my uncle. He had a party pontoon.
Did he? Fantastic.
He's a partier. Likes that stuff.
No commercial license, just hanging out there and picking people up off the side of the road.
So when I ride down that road, what's the name of the road along the canal?
It is Canal Street.
Canal Street. So when I ride along Canal Street, I see that there's like kayaks up on the hill. There's some stuff. Can you get into the canal from there?
So the kayaks on the hill were probably, you might have been looking actually at the canal side in, because we had kayaks from Matt and Quest Kayak sitting on our property.
Exactly.
So people rent those, and then, you know, depending on where they go, sometimes we offer them to our guests complimentary, and sometimes they're rentable. And then they either take them to launch out in Dewey, or they, you know, because they can go off of Route 1 south once you get out of the corporate city limits of Dewey. Mm. There's the two entryways on the right-hand side. What are the two beaches there?
Oh, New R's, there's Tower Beach.
New Road.
New Road.
Is on the right-hand, it's on the bay side. So people launch out of there.
Okay.
And I think sometimes if people have their own kayaks, they will use the Rehoboth newly implemented that walkway that is down there. It's a little treacherous.
You can't get in from your spot, I guess, legally, or can you just slide down that mountain into the river, into the canal? I won't. You don't have to answer that question.
There is a treacherous dock that sits there, and from what I understand, that dock has a long history. And it should be replaced and made more safe, because people do tend to take their choice of freedoms and go down there and use that dock when it's probably not a good, safe option. But it should be replaced, actually.
Yeah. Well, the canal is great. Like I said, it's weird. As long as I've lived here, it's always just been this canal. Like, you, every once in a while, you'll see a boat go through, but I feel like if it was in Florida or a little farther south than Delaware, maybe it would be more used as a, you know, constantly bringing people up from Lewis up to Rehoboth. I heard that it was really about bringing some folks up to Dogfish Head.
I don't know about that, but what I can tell you is that would be a great, great way to have a couple cocktails.
Damn right.
Walk around the city, get a safe ride home.
Yep.
Take people off the road, no drinking and driving, just partying and boating and having a safe passage. That'd be a great idea.
It's a great idea.
Fantastic. And you can go crabbing and fishing off there all the time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's awesome. And to have people come in, you know, you can do the go right from the bay into the actual canal from there. I mean, it's a great way to spend some time. So,
I love it.
Yeah.
Well, listen, I looked at your Instagram. I was checking around, seeing what I could learn. I see you guys are a pet-friendly boutique hotel, right?
That's right.
So pet-friendly meaning, call ahead, set up a reservation, and notify you have pets and things are worked out or figured out, or how does that work?
So we are pro-pet.
Pro-pet.
Pro-pet. And there's a big difference between pet-friendly and pro-pet. And what we do is we actually take all the rooms and we make every room pet-friendly. So a little, by the way, history. We have a Siberian Husky, which we rescued. And we travel all the time. And so we'd pull into these hotels, and you know, you have to first of all search and find a hotel that is pet friendly, which is a pain in the ass.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and it's a 65-pound Siberian Husky. So nobody wants that dog. So we, as people who were traveling, had a real tough time finding accommodations. And we have two kids, you know, we're just trying to spend a night for a little bit and get on the way. Well, you'd always get the back room, you know, in the basement or in a corner that nobody wants to, you know, you're like the dregs of society over there. How dare you bring your pet? And we bought the Canal Side Inn and said, you know what? This is a place where we want people to feel like they can vacation, bring their kids, bring their dog, which in many cases feels like a member of the family. And then how do we do that in a way that makes it comfortable and affordable and make sure that it's not this experience where you feel like you're relegated to the worst room in the hotel.
Right.
So we gutted all the rooms, put in new took out all the carpet, made hardwood floors. We made some arrangements with Paws.com to get blankets down for the guests so that they could put their pet has a bed. We give them waste bags. We give them a bowl to use for their food and their water. We give them two cords outside. So if pets want to like hang out with their owners outside and they can't be off leash. And so we made every effort to use non-toxic, non-chemical cleaners so there's no allergies for the pet owners. And it's been a big journey to make sure that pet owners know they can come. So we try to make sure we accept all dogs, all sizes. The only dogs you don't take are the mean dogs.
Right.
You know, so we want everybody to come and celebrate. Sure. Nobody wants to leave their dog at home.
Right.
Nobody wants to do that. Right. So how do we do it? We make sure they're part of the vacation experience. But we don't take cats.
No cats?
Cats get pissed off and then they, you know, they do take damage. Liberties, do damage. No cats.
I have a couple cats.
I love cats.
I'm like, I am not letting these cats. Cats tend to think that you can basically let them out and let them in all day. Mm. Like if they had their way, they'd just be like, I'm ready to go out. I want to come back in. I'm ready to go out. And you're like, I'm not letting you out this time. You are going to wait and learn. And then they're like, oh, yeah. And yeah, start shredding something. You're like, all right, I'm letting you out.
That's it.
Yeah. Cats are a pain in the ass.
We have cats. We adopted two cats and we love them. Or we had cats.
Right.
And then we moved back up to here to Delaware. But the challenge with cats is that cats, you know, they want their own space. They like it.
Yeah.
And so dogs are like, hey, I'll go anywhere. Tell me where you want to go.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm cool. Cats are like, you took me out of my place, man. I'm about to pee in this corner here. So we don't, no cats.
No, I get it. And they're sneaky too. It's, you know, you don't know when they've. I came home the other day and there was one of the cats was locked in my son's room. And I was like, I wonder if you peed in here.
Yeah.
I don't know where, right? You don't know what happened. So I couldn't find anything. I had to just move on.
But I will tell you from an owner's perspective, you know, there's no distinct advantage for us to like be pet friendly. I mean, right. It probably costs us more than we actually cover in the pet fee. Because we have to take a lot of mitigation measures to make sure the rooms are clean properly. There's no dander left over. There's no things that are going to be remnants of prior pet experience. Because you want each guest to walk in and say, hey, this is a brand new room. It smells clean. It's great. It's almost as if no pet was ever in here. So for that, it takes a lot of effort. Not sure it's really worth it from a financial perspective.
Right.
But I don't care about that. What we care about as an organization, you know, it's my wife and I own it. You know, it's run by us and our two kids, and we have a great employee, Marissa, who's an amazing person, who was our first intern. We want people to come and say, look, you know, I had this experience. It was at the Canal Side Inn. This is a vacation tradition. We like it. We enjoy it. The people treat us with kindness, and we're comfortable. It should feel like a beach home, only that you don't have to clean up and take care of yourself. We do all that for you.
Well, it's funny, because I've met a couple different couples that own little boutique hotels not far from you, and same kind of story. They bought the hotel and they're basically running it as a, you know, as a husband and wife or, you know, whatever it is. But, you know, they're running it as a team. And it's usually like they've kind of gone through this kind of lifestyle and they've had this moment where they decided, you know what, I'm ready for a change and not throw it all away, but just change their path or direction and end up basically owning a little hotel. And it's the hustle of maintaining the hotel and they love it. And I think, it sounds like that's what you guys are doing, and it's. But you don't advertise as a pet friendly hotel, right? I mean,
oh yeah, not, we definitely do.
That's what you do.
We lean very heavily into the pet friendly.
So if you're going to your hotel, more than likely you have pets.
About 85% of our people have pets.
Oh, good. Okay.
Which, you know,
makes sense.
we want that.
Right.
Because if you're a pet owner, you come, and then there's other pet owners, and you know what happens when pet owners are talking to other pet owners?
They talk about pet-friendly places?
They get to learn about each other. They sit down outside. We have fire pits. Everybody's having drinks. They're looking at the canal. The birds are flying in. The dogs are by their owners. It creates an entirely different atmosphere than if you were to walk into one of these flagged hotels, which is a hotel, like a name brand hotel that you would know nationally. And then you walk in and, you know, you have one person sitting on the other side of the pool and nobody wants to talk to this person over here. Dogs bring people together.
Well, and you also, I think with those bigger places, you may have like a couple rooms designated for pets. So they're always the pet rooms, where it sounds like with your guys' situation, every room's a pet room. So, you know, you're not cast off to the bad room. So, and personally, I feel like people that have pets, I don't have lower standards or but they're less likely to go with the flow. You know, they already know that, you know, they have a pet and shit can happen, right? And so they're already kind of like easygoing, maybe not as uptight. You'd have to tell me if that's true or not, but I think they just go with the flow a little more.
Oh man, it is the best thing in the world to just walk in and have people. You got it's already like they're carrying bags and they got this dog, and you walk in, we give the dog a treat, and the dog's wagging the tail. And the owner, you could just see the stress just come right off of them.
Yeah.
And they're like, hey. And then they look over, and they're kind of worried because they're like, oh, is my dog going to be the dog that no one, you know, that is like a problem? And it's very funny. Everybody calls us and says, hi, I want to call about a room, and I have a pet. I'm like, great. And then they proceed to tell us how amazing their pet is. Like, they're selling us on the idea. And I just tell them, look, we want you to bring your pet. As long as it's friendly, bring it.
Right.
You know, and then they look over and there's somebody else's dog like lounged out by the poolside, and the owner's in the hot tub with a glass of wine, and somebody else is over there in the pool with some champagne. We're all hanging out and we're on the back patio and there's some barbecue going. That's a cool thing to be a part of, you know? Yeah. And so we want it to feel like it's an experience that you can take that you wouldn't get anywhere else.
Well, and the other thing is that just because I don't, you know, we have children. You know, but there are people out there that choose to maybe not have kids that, you know, their family is their pets. And it's like, you know, I love my cat. Cats are great, but, you know, my cats aren't my world. What I like about cats is they're kind of a little bit more independent, you know, so I can have a pet, but I don't have to constantly be walking the cat and stuff like that. But there are people that their whole world is their animals. And I get it. It's like having kids, you know, it's like going to a hotel that's kid friendly. You can't go to a hotel if you have kids that doesn't allow kids. Those are good hotels too, but we've been to a couple of those. Sorry guys, you're not allowed. But it's nice because especially when you're coming down for the weekend or something like that, and you know, especially in the fall, in the winter, where it's a little more pet friendly down here, so to speak. Not as many people. Maybe people want to just come walk on the beach and take their dogs and stuff. I don't know what the rule is for the summer. I know that I think maybe after 10, no animals on the boardwalk.
So the cities have their own codes. Dewey typically is, you know, before 9 and after 5, between Memorial and Labor Day, the dogs are
before allowed. Before 9 a.m. and after 5 p.m., you're allowed to have the dogs and animals on the beach?
On the beach in Dewey. Beach. And you have to get a tag in Dewey or a permit, I believe, like a seasonal permit for the dog. And all the cities have their ordinances posted on their websites. Rehoboth, I believe it's May 1 or May 15 through September 15. There's no dogs on the beach or the boardwalk. But then the state parks, if you come in through Gordon's Pond and you go back through the Henlopen State Park, that entrance, you can have your dogs on leash on the beach all day, every day. So it just depends on where you want to go.
So the dogs aren't allowed on the beach at all in the summer in Rehoboth?
Correct.
Not in the mornings?
Not in the mornings.
That's a rip off. I'm just kidding. Damn it.
Well, you know, it does...
Felt like did they change that? I felt like there was maybe a little more flexibility, but maybe that's...
I don't know.
I just read a rule like they're talking about like not allowing bikes on the boardwalk at all in the summer.
I don't think you're allowed to have bikes on the beach in the summer. I mean, sorry, on the boardwalk in the summer just because of traffic.
I thought it was like up until 10 in the morning and then you had to be off, but...
Don't quote me.
Don't quote me.
Don't quote me.
Bring your dogs and your bikes.
Bring your dogs and your bikes. We love it. We actually give people free bikes and beach chairs and umbrellas, and we also bought a party bus for the hotel.
I saw that.
Yeah, buddy.
Gets you to events.
Yeah. One of my best friends owns Sutton Bus Company, and we grew up together. And when Kristen and I bought the hotel, our goal was that we wanted to turn it into a retreat center so that people can come, they can celebrate birthday parties, they can celebrate, you know, bat mitzvahs, have a rehearsal dinner, birthdays, baby showers, weddings. And then we started thinking, we're like, okay, well, how, you know, what if somebody wants to get married on the beach? What do we do? How do we get them there? If they want to stay at the hotel and they want to go have drinks at the Starboard, or they want to go down to Ocean City, like, how can we make that? So we came up with this complete celebration solution where we have space to rent, we have accommodations, and then we bought this bus. So I called my buddy Ronnie. I said, hey, man. Or actually, no, I didn't call him. He came down for a visit, him and his wife and a couple kids, and says, hey, I want to buy a bus. I said, you got one? He says, no, I don't have a bus for you, but I'll tell you what. Give me a couple days. I'm not kidding you. Like 3 days later, he called us. He said, I found a bus for you. 20-person, handicap-accessible bus. So if you have guests that have some challenges, you can help them.
Sure.
And we put people on the bus, and we run them from the beach or from the hotel to the beach at 10 a.m. We pick them up at 3 p.m. And then what's great about it is if you bring your pet, you put your pet on the bus, and then that way we take you to the state park, and you can bring your pet with you to the beach.
Wow.
See that?
It's like a resort. It's kind of like a resort.
We try to make it as fun and as easy as possible. Sea Breezy is what we call it.
Sea Breezy.
Sea Breezy. Canal Side Inn, baby.
Oh, that's a kind of a cliche, or not a cliche.
Catchy, like
a catchphrase.
Yeah. We want people to think it's like, you know, I got there. When you go on vacation, what do you think about? What do I got to bring? What am I going to do with this dog? How much stuff can I fit in the car? Is the room going to be nice? Am I going to get, you know, all kinds of, how am I going to get there through the traffic? Am I going to get frustrated on my drive? Well, if you are thinking about coming to Canal Side Inn, our goal is that people say, look, throw some things in the bag, put our pet in there, bring some food. I know they're going to have bowls. They're going to have bags. If the dog needs to go for a walk, you have waste bags. They got beach chairs. They got transportation to and from the beach. All I got to do is put a bunch of shit in my bag, bring my dog on a leash, put him in the car, and we show up, and we're good. And one of the things that we did, too, is like we thought through, you know, if you're a pet owner, what kind of experience do you want to have? If you're a regular vacationer, what kind of experience do you want to have? And then we did some things like put in contactless hospitality. When the pandemic hit, we were sitting there and we were thinking to ourselves, okay, we have literally empty rooms. We have this property which we spent our entire life savings and our investment on. And with the help of some family members, you know, my mom pitched in and helped us with some investments there. It's like, look, this is a place that is now empty. What do we do with it? Mm. And for the 3 months, you know, March of 2020 through June of 2020, there were literally travel restrictions. Somebody could come in. So we figured out how to change the guest experience, anticipating that people weren't going to want to stand in lines. They don't want to go to a lobby check-in. You know how it is. You go to a lobby, you check in, mm-hmm. and there's some attendant there checking his or her cell phone, or worse yet, they're in the back napping, and you feel like you've woken them from a slumber because you choose to check in, and you're an annoyance to them. Well, we thought to ourselves, what if we could just remove all of that frustration? Just because the history of the hospitality industry says do X, Y, and Z. So we just take a bunch of stuff, and then we break it, literally. We sit down, Marissa, Kristen, and I, and our team of interns, and we think to ourselves, here's the experience, and then we break it apart and then reassemble it. And that's how we come to some of the strategic decisions that we have. And so with that, we did a contactless hospitality experience, which literally means you sign up. Our check-in process does not involve coming to a lobby and dealing with, I mean, we're there, but if you don't want to engage us, we have an electronic signature form for your check-in. Nice. We have a text message that communicates with the door locks. The door locks are communicating with our reservation system. All that happens with us without having to actually interact with the guest if they choose not to interact with us. So you get up the morning of your day of your trip. You have your room number, you have your key code, you have access to all the bikes, the beach chairs, and the fire pits. You literally pull in, the parking pass is hanging on your door, and you could be in your room, checked in, and on the beach within 10 minutes.
Wow. That's pretty awesome.
We try.
So what do you think as an when people come down to Rehoboth, what do you feel like they're expecting in their experience?
I feel like Rehoboth is, I mean, look, we have banked on this idea of national or summer cap, the nation's summer capital, right?
Right.
So in your experience, you might be somebody who wants to do flip-flops, sandals, and tank tops, right?
Sure.
And you can get any variety of experience at the restaurants, the shops, just walking around, ice cream in your hand, you know, sunblock all over the place, and, you know, you look like you got sand in every crack and crevice, and you want that experience. Well, there's also this group of people who might be, you know, on the sun, in the sun 1 minute, and then they come out and they want to put on high dollar, high rent district type stuff, and they want to have a top quality experience. So we have really great restaurants downtown that feed, you know, they feature the high and elevated type of food and cuisine and bar that you would expect in a major metropolitan area.
Sure.
So I think it depends on the person, but ultimately that person could be sandals and tank tops or button-up shirt and khakis.
Yeah.
And they could be the same person at a different time in the day. And I think Rehoboth has this wonderful opportunity to share that experience with people. Plus, look, when we moved, I'm from Delaware, and when we moved back a few years ago, part of what we found was that there's nature. You can do bike trails. You can do, I mean, not hiking vertically so much, but you can certainly go on walks around and see beautiful, beautiful things that are just a few steps away from the beach, right? I mean, you walk in that Gordon's Pond or the Cape Henlopen State Park, and you can enjoy views and history of nature that you could never even imagine getting anywhere else. It's such a unique place. And then you drive just a little bit down the road, and you have this experience at like the James Farm Ecological Park, you know, right outside of Bethany, and there's horseshoes and horseshoe crabs, and then there's this wonderful trail you walk back there. So I think...
What is that called?
James Farm Ecological Park, I believe is what
it's
called.
Is that out there by the Indian River Inlet?
Yeah, so when you... Once you've walked through the preserve, it's on the bay there, and then the pond or the bridge is just right outside there.
I saw a guy who does my buddy Shreddy, who does a YouTube channel for e-bikes, and he was out there on a ride, and I was unaware of all the trails that are really out there by the Indian River Inlet. Like, I don't even know how you get to it. I don't know if you go into it on the northern side or on the southern side, but it looked like they had. What's the restaurant that's there? Catchers, or is it a?
So used to be. The, what is it called now?
Yeah. Well.
Oh, my God. My friend owns it. I take my daughter there. We have sunset macaroni and cheese. And,
yeah.
You know, it's great.
Yeah, so.
Hammerheads.
Hammerheads.
Hammerheads, dockside.
Yeah, so Hammerheads is right there. They were down there in one of his videos, and then it looked like they just went back straight and somehow ended up on trails. And I was like, I was unaware that any of that was back there. So is that how you get to it, through that?
Yeah, so on the southbound side, you pull off to the right. If you're going south on one, you pull off to the right and go to where the dockside is, and you just go back a little bit past there's a boat yard.
Yeah.
And then you'll literally just pull into this kind of empty parking lot, and you just walk.
Start walking.
And it's amazing. There's beachhead back there. Yeah. There's trails. It's a great way to spend time.
Well, there's a lot of horseshoe crabs, because you mentioned horseshoe crabs. I remember Shreddy was back there, this probably was at the end of summer, you know, when everything just kind of dies off, but it looked like there was quite a few horseshoe crabs back there. So, interesting. There's, you know, for being here as long as I have, there's still parts of this area that I just haven't. I actually bought an e-bike this year because I want to start doing some more adventuring. You know, I love to ride a bike, I love to run, I love to do all that stuff, but I love to run and ride to about as far as I can go, and then I, you know, barely make it back. And it'd be nice that what I'm finding with the e-bike is that I can go out farther, and I don't have to worry about, you know, that there's nothing like taking Route 1 on a bicycle towards Bethany and then realizing when you turn around at the lifeguard station that there is a 30-mile-an-hour headwind.
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, oh. I don't think I'm going to make it.
That's a bummer, bro.
That's a bummer. I did that on a Walmart bike. It was not good.
Have you tried the trail that connects Lewis? So there is a bike trail that connects Lewis to Rehoboth.
Right? Lewis to Rehoboth, yes.
So if you take that trail, it'll take you 15 minutes. You can be downtown. I mean, if you're huffing it, You can run it, you can bike it, you can walk it. And that is also this thing that if you didn't know that trail existed, you would just kind of walk by and say, oh, what's that? You know, just a little dirt path. But it connects via this one trail.
Yeah, so we live at the end of Breakwater, our Wolf Neck Road.
Yeah, yeah, that's what it is.
Yeah, so we live down there. I run from my house to the trail and run the trail a lot more when I was younger. It's a struggle I'm dealing with right now. I was trying to find my motivation to start running again. I don't know why.
Where'd it go?
I'm happy.
Good for you.
Yeah, that's part of the problem. I'm just happy. I mean, I used to run 5 days a week, 9 miles a day, but I was pretty sad. I was pretty lost and pretty, I don't know, trying to find some sort of identity through physical fitness, I guess. And so I was just doing a lot of running, and now I'm, you know, very happy, happily married, and the kids are doing great, business is great, and I'm just like, you know, I want to be in shape, but I'm like, what's the point? Because my problem is, for me to run, I got to do it at 5:30. I got to get up at 5 in the morning. I got to leave the house about 5:45, run 5 miles, get back, get the kids to school, get to work. So it's just, I think what I'm having trouble with is getting up at 5 in the morning now.
So by way of interest, what was your journey like to get to that happiness? Do you mind sharing that with me?
What was my journey
to get to that happiness?
Well, I started running because I smoked. I was a big smoker. And I got sober in 97. And the last thing I was doing was smoking. And I remember I would go run on a treadmill and then smoke. And I finally was like, I want to quit. And that was what started the journey to quitting cigarettes, was smoking. I wanted to run more than I wanted to smoke. And so that was a sadness. You know, I was not pleased with myself. I'm going to make it up through running. And that's what I did. And I did that for a long time. And then was married, and relationships, you know, get weird. And for some reason, my marriage ended. And I was just at a real low point and just really turned to fitness. I'm like, I'll fix this by looking awesome and being awesome and putting out this appearance like I'm great, and it's going to make me feel more confident, and I'll be able to find another wife or whatever it is. And it was fine. But, you know, now, however many years later, and I'm happily married and great kids and great business and just enjoying doing the podcasting and meeting all sorts of new people, I'll still do it, but nothing stopped me in the past. I'd run into, I can remember running Gordon's Pond in the sleet and snow at 5 in the morning in the pitch black with a headlamp, and I couldn't see anything because the snow and sleets is going everywhere, and thinking to myself, this is awesome, you know? And now I'm like this morning it was 6:30 and I was in bed. I'm like, this is awesome. So it's just figuring out my balance. But I do... One thing I choose to do is I make commitments with people. So I run with the guy Brian Kelman, who owns Lewis Cycle Sport. I don't know if you've have any relationship with them, but he's a big bike store owner, and I think they're partnered up with a guy that has a bike store down, I think, on 2nd Street in Rehoboth. Is that what it is, 2nd Street? But we run together. But like, he's been out of town, so I haven't been doing it. But I'll get there. I gotta find some sadness.
Well, I will tell you that I'm very interested in your journey, because I like to see that people find healing and health and wellness.
Yeah.
And that is oftentimes, as you say, an internal challenge that we face. And by way of history here, I have an MBA and a PhD, and my PhD is in leadership and organizational development. And essentially, it's how do we get people to be the best version of themselves, you know, within a work context. But I took that. And this is part of our journey with the Canal Side Inn, is that I took that and built a pretty successful speaking career and business where we now do retreats at the Canal Side Inn and focus on organizational development, focus on building people into the best version of themselves they can be. I did a TED Talk called Leaders Are Born to Be Made, where we talk about how each and every person's capable of leading, and it's just a matter of them finding it within themselves to take that journey and to have the courage to actually take a chance and lead, and then also be supported by the people that are in their immediate 360 circle and give them love and say, look, you can do this. And so whenever I hear people telling me that they're sad or that there's something that they want to achieve, I ask them and invite them to find the leader within. And you know, you can't lead someone else if you can't lead yourself. And so leading yourself sounds like exactly what you did. You take that path towards healing and wellness and goodness, and then you find the leader within, and that person then becomes a good husband, a good business owner, a good community member, and we take that journey, and it's not an overnight thing. It takes a lot of courage and a lot of bravery to look inside yourself, realize that there's some things you don't like, and then be proactive about making that step, and in fact, not one step, many steps towards wellness and being your best self. So I just want to say congratulations to you, because that's a big journey, and I'm happy Thank to you. Meet you.
Well, I always say, you know, I just celebrated 13 years sobriety, but I've probably been serene for 3 years.
Tell me what you mean by that.
Well, you know, sobriety is really, I think the definition of sobriety is to be free of drink, right? That's basically the definition, be free of drink. Well, I solved that the first day I got sober. But the reality is it's more than that. I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility is really my problem. Oh, you got the end.
I got the
It's good coffee, right?
But it's great coffee, bro.
Here, you can have some Thank of this.
You. I'm good.
I'm a self-centered asshole with a deficiency in humility, which means that when I come to that fork in the road, I either do what I want to do or I do what I should do. And I, unfortunately, a lot of the time used to do what I wanted to do, which was like drinking and partying and having fun. And I did it for a long time, finally got sober. I'd love to say that I was like, oh, I'm just exhausted from this drinking. But no, I had a big mouth. In fact, I got thrown out of the bar, which is now, it used to be Mulligan's, which was next door to
Crystal. About the country club? Oh.
No.
Diego's?
No, Crystal, you know the Crystal restaurant?
Yeah.
So the bar next to it, I think it's the Double L now.
Bar next to it is Diego's.
Is it Diego's now?
Yeah,
it was
Diego's on the rooftop.
Yeah, whatever it is. It used to be Mulligan's,
yeah.
You know, 20 years ago.
Okay.
And, I got my ass kicked in that bar. And I got thrown out the front door by a guy that I'm still friends with. Every time I see him, I thank him because he did me a favor. And I got punched because I was a big mouth, and I got thrown out because I was a big mouth. And found myself sitting on Robeth Avenue and just going, what's going on? And finally decided to get sober. But you know, being sober, you know, coins, you know, time, it's a little self-based. You know, look at me, got a coin. It's great. But, you know, there's still self-centeredness involved in that. You know, I'm sober. I got this much time. I got coins. I've got, you know, but the serenity side is the side, you know, the high road. You know, if you want to, I don't work with a lot, but I've worked with some people in the program, and I always say, listen, if you want to fight, kick and scream on every turn of your path on this getting sober, you might as well just forget it. I mean, you can be free of drink, but they call that dry drunk, and you're just a miserable person that doesn't drink. And I wouldn't say that I've been that, but I found out the balance between self and humility. You know, the devil, which I call self. And humility, which is what I call God.
So there's a great deal of ego work that goes into finding humility. And
ego deflation work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, the ego is the mind's and the spirit's, actually it's not the spirit, it's just the mind's ultimate defense mechanism. It is the center of the self-centeredness. Yeah. And when we have the spirit and good God comes down to you and the spirit lifts you up. And one thing that is difficult for people with high level of ego is to realize that we were born into this world loved and loving, and we are whole and complete. And it is only in the absence of something, there's a gap between what we want and where we are. And when we try to fill that gap in is where we stray away from, in this situation, our happiness. It brings us sadness. We want something where we say, look, I want to be in a different place where I look over and I see my, you know, my neighbor, and I covet my neighbor, or I look over and I see something that I want and I try to take advantage of a different scenario or to my benefit and to the detriment of another person. And it's in that we find the ego saying, yes, it's you. It's only you. It's the only you. But God comes in and says, look, no matter what, you're whole, loved, and loving. Whether you make $1 million or you make zero, whether or not you are good or bad, I care for you no matter what. And that's part of the work that when you come to the recognition that you are a good and decent human being that's loved and loving by God, then you are able to give that love back. And ego can't fight against that because it's eternal and good. Yeah. And so for you, I'm very proud to hear that you recognize that humility, because that humility, humbling yourself, not just in front of God, but in front of people, is the hardest thing to do, to admit that you're not the best, or that you're not necessarily good at any point in your life. To humble yourself in front of people and to acknowledge that takes a great deal of courage.
Yeah, well, humility is self's kryptonite. It's just, when humility shows up, self's like, eh, I'm going to go hang out over here while you do your humility stuff. And then when that fades, I'll be back. I'll never leave. And I think one of the interesting things is redefining happiness. You know, I remember as a kid always like, I want to be a millionaire. I'm not happy unless I'm a millionaire. Or I'm not happy unless I'm getting all the things that self wants. And unfortunately, in that kind of lifestyle, you have a lot of disappointments, because I've yet to be a millionaire. I used to compare God and Santa, you know, because basically, what can you do for me? And, you know, the relationship that I had with a God or a higher power or something like that, some spirituality, was always just about fix this, you know, what can I get? And, you know, so now my relationship with that is more of just humility. You know, I don't ask. I just recognize. I work a lot with, you know, I have three kids, and my middle son, he struggles a little bit with anxiety, and so we pray about it. But we don't ask for God to fix it. We recognize that we have it. Dear Lord, my shoulders aren't big enough. I'm turning this over to you. That's the prayer. You know, it's not, dear Lord, shit's not going well. Can you fix this? It's not asking. It's just recognizing, because self's like, do not talk about this. Keep it silent. Keep it to yourself. Don't mention it to your father. Let's just suffer with it. And humility's like, no, let's say it out loud. Let's get a little sunshine on it. And that's what I've been, you know, especially in the day where, you know, we love to put kids on medication. And listen, if it works, you know, do you. But for my kids, these simple little problems, you know, we try to solve a little bit of with prayer. And I'm not a church guy, but I recognize how self will tell you, stay quiet about this. Don't talk about your anxiety. And it's tough.
One of the things that I think you're describing is this idea of being transparent and authentic about your experiences in life with mm-hmm. not just yourself, but with your children, and having them recognize that there's no stigma attached with whatever challenge that you're facing, whether it be physiological, psychological, emotional, or spiritual. The way that you achieve something is to actually acknowledge that there's part of you that is not in perfect alignment, and then try to take either therapeutic steps or a self journey that brings you to a part where you feel like you've made steps towards progress. And this is one of the things that I am convinced of, and which is part of why I became a speaker and part of why I took this journey in terms of getting my doctorate, because I wanted to be the best version of myself so that I could use the tools that God gave me to improve the lives of others. And so when we bought the canal side, not that I have to get back to that, but the point that I'm at in my life and my journey is the canal side is just a manifestation of everything I've worked towards in giving people a place where they can either enjoy a vacation experience, but more for our organizational development and our personal development. When we hold retreats, it's me talking to either companies or groups of people, pulling out the best version of themselves. And that comes only from a foundation of authenticity, which you describe so profoundly and completely, is a place where people ordinarily are not comfortable with achieving. Because to be authentic is to acknowledge both, it's called balanced processing. I have to accept good with equal weight that I give negative, right? So I can't look at somebody who says I'm not perfect and then say, that person doesn't know what they're talking about. It comes from saying, look, you know, if I'm not being the best version of myself right now, I have to acknowledge that and give equal weight to the moments that I am good. Because when I am good, I can celebrate that, but I can also celebrate when I'm not super awesome and say to myself, okay, well, great. This gives me another area where I can communicate with both my family and God, and other, you know, by extension, the members of my community, and say, give me your feedback. How do I develop into a good human being? You know, yeah. What am I doing that can improve your life or improve my own life? So, you know, again, you taking that journey is the foundation of authenticity. I am here. You can accept that or you don't, right? And authenticity is not a dichotomous, I am or I'm not. It's a continuum. I'm less authentic in some places when I feel out of my skin, right? You hear people say that, you know, I feel that's an out-of-body experience, or I feel uncomfortable in this group or this dynamic. It's like the part of peace that you find within yourself is acknowledging that you can be the very best version of you in all contexts. Acknowledging that sometimes you lead in the community and sometimes you lead in your family and sometimes you don't. Like, it's okay to follow sometimes and to just be a person that says, you know, I accept that my son is going through this challenge and I'm going to be there for him because in this role, he is the most important piece. He is the centerpiece. And so good for you, man.
Well, and, you know, it's like this podcast. You know, this podcast, I'm not a podcaster. I'm not a radio guy. I'm a hairdresser. You know, I had my good friend Matt who passed away. You know, if you needed anything, like if Matt Haley was still here and you needed something, you called Matt, he'd be there for you. He'd probably already stopped by, probably introduced himself, you know, cooperation over competition, the high road. It's always a better position. You know, he's the guy that you open it, like you have your place and then an inn opens up down the street and you're like, oh geez, now we're screwed. He'd be like, send them flowers. How can we help? Yeah. Do you need anything to get your first weekend going? You need extra sheets? What can we do to help you? It's a way better relationship than this peeking around the corner. What are they up to? It's like, let's help one another. And that's what he was all about. And when he died, someone was like, you know, I'm going to pick up where he left off. And I was like, you can't pick up where he left off. That was what he did. That wasn't a chore. It wasn't a task. It was just his day. And so I couldn't do that, but if I could sit down with people that had small business in this town, you know, and listen and put a face on people, you know, if I have a conversation with somebody, I'm more likely to use them than if I didn't know anything about them. But when I found out they're human and they're doing, of course they're human, right, I think. But, you know, you find out the story and then you're like, I like that. And it puts a little bit more to the story, more likely to check them out as a small business. So. But every time I turn this mic on, I'm scared. It's you know, I feel like I sound like an idiot, but I just keep doing it. It's like, keep pushing through. It's, you know, the good, it works out in the end.
I will suggest to you that there are six dangerous words when used in combination stop people from being successful. Fake it till you make it. And you just said, I'm not a podcaster, but here you sit with a studio and you've done enough of this that a group of interns that work for us at Canal Side Inn, we tasked them, they're wonderful, wonderful, young, brilliant students who are trying to figure out where they want to go with their career, and we task them with projects. Each and every year, each and every semester, we get like six or seven interns, and we give them real-life skills. We challenge them with projects. We force them to enhance their abilities. And at some point, they come in, and they know nothing about our business. They're trying to be the best version of their future self, like they're leaning into that. And we said, look, find us a place that can help support local community and help support what we're trying to do here in Rehoboth. And they found you.
Yeah.
Which, guess what? You're not faking it. No. You're doing it. So the moment that you decide to engage in an activity, you become that thing. The moment that you try, all of a sudden, your life is transformed into being what you were, into being what you are. And so you're not faking it. You're not a person who is doing a podcast. You are all those things, and it's only the identity that we call forward at any moment that is the most important identity. And what I mean by that is right now, you and I just have microphones and earbuds, or what are these?
Cans,
okay.
Yeah, cans.
But we're two people having a conversation, a meaningful dialogue about life. And I got to tell you, when I walked in, I did not expect us to have this existential and yet very deep connection, and I think that it is forming right here in front of us, and I'm very glad to have met someone who actually absolutely puts it forward.
Absolutely. I personally, anybody that I meet, I feel like I'm going to become friends with. There's no real, unless there's some issue, but most people I meet, I feel like I'll be making a new friend, you know, because I don't like to say I'm humble, but I know I try to find some humility. And, you know, usually if I have an issue, it's something. There's always this great story when I got sober about Mr. Jones. And the guy's like, I hate Mr. Jones. The guy's like, all right, well, let's figure this out. And so they start picking it apart. What's up? Well, it turns out, you know, maybe Mr. Jones had a prettier wife. You know, maybe Mr. Jones has a nicer car. Maybe Mr. Jones has a bigger house. And so really what it shows is that the person is more disappointed in themselves. Right. And Mr. Jones just kind of reminds us, like, I didn't do very good in school. You know, I didn't go to college. I'm not a doctor, you know, but I can't be mad at you, you know, but simple-minded kind of thinking leads us to find excuses like that to be mad at and then kind of dig in. And I think that that Mr. Jones story always reminds me, you know, what part am I playing in my own unhappiness? It's usually a very big part.
Yeah. Well, there's conflict generally is misunderstood in terms of what other people do unto you.
Right.
In fact, conflict in the way that we understand the world is really about our inner workings and our experience with conflict. Because if I have peace with myself, then I do not project my anger or my anxiety or my absence. Remember, we talked about the gap between what I want and what I actually have.
Yeah.
I will project that out into the world, and the world is full of what we understand in terms of interpretations. Like, your interpretation is the reality, and you project that anger, that conflict out into the world. Conflict is really about how we feel about ourselves. And then once you understand that, if you are at peace within yourself, you look over and you can say, oh, man, you know, I didn't see that Mr. Jones sacrificed, you know, X, Y, and Z in order to get to the part where he has, you know, a lot of money, or he has, even if you have no money and he has just peace, you know, like, we look at people from the outside all the time and then we project onto them what we believe and we perceive about them. It's like you're driving down the road and somebody cuts you off and you're like, that person. And then you launch into a tirade. It's like, well, you know, what if their kid's having a seizure in the back seat? You don't know.
Right.
So the point is, if you maintain the wellness within and you find a place where you accept all things about yourself, then you can lead more effectively. You can be a more humble human being. You can find your way to happiness within your own relationships. And that is the enrichment. My kid asked me all the time, and I like to tell stories, so I'll tell you. He asked me all the time, you know, we own a hotel. So we have set up a lemonade stand. And so my daughter is going to walk.
How old are your kids?
So I have a 6-year-old daughter and a 7-year-old son.
Nice.
So we have a lemonade stand, and my son wants to.
So do they go to Rehoboth Elementary?
No, they do not.
Okay.
It's a story for another time.
School podcast.
Yeah. So they want to set up we set up lemonade stands a couple of summers in a row. And now my son wants to branch into, like, teaching people how to do jewelry. And my daughter wants to set up a dog walking club at the hotel, since almost all of our guests bring their dogs. And then they all want to go to the beach, right?
Sure.
So we already offered some stuff. Or my daughter's like, look, I want to walk dogs. Fine. 6 years old. You know, we can do that. And we start having conversation about what does that mean in terms of success? Like, how much money do we need? How much money do we want? How much more complicated do we want to make our lives? And my wife is always reminding me that, you know, the simplicity, be happy with what it is that we have. And so we have conversations with our children about success versus money. And I said, well, I'm going to tell you something, son. If you have no money in the bank, but you are loved, you feel great, and you can walk around with a happy heart, and you feel connected to your God, and people who are around you feel that you are serving them, that is success. If you have $1 million and you have none of those things, or $1 gazillion and you're empty and you have multiple failed relationships and you have some kind of addiction problem as a result of your emotional distress, and you're basically feeding the ego through substance abuse, you can be as wealthy as you want and be completely miserable. Mm. So what I want you to do, son, is understand that we're going to work on you, and we're going to work on your sister in this family, so that we can be a complete unit. And you, as a result, like, you need to find a solution to a problem that will help you create money. But money is just one thing that helps us live a different life. In, you know, more money, less money,
more trouble.
It's your decision on how you want to live your life, but don't go for money. If you want to be an entrepreneur, fine. Find a problem that people need solved. Sell a solution. But that does not mean that you're more or less successful because you have more or less money. And that's a big principle that we try to teach our children.
Well, and it's a big distraction these days, because it seems like all the things that all the people that our kids enjoy, music-wise or stars, are making lots of money. And they're just like, you know, these. I always say, you either want to be a character or you want to have character.
That's Harvey Keitel's line from he says, just because you are a character does not mean that you have character from Pulp Fiction.
I don't remember that. I say if you don't have character, you will become a character.
Yeah.
And I actually have it. I have a shirt that I made that says "We're making characters." We're creating character, not characters, with a hammer or something. But you know, I don't think you know. There's also a point in our lives. You know, it's great to kind of talk to this with our kids, but you know, we're kind of like an avocado. You know, there's a big portion of our life that's really we're really good to nobody, right? And then we have this sweet spot, and I think it takes place around 50. If we can, you know, we're ripe, you know, but very not ripe, right? And so I don't know, it's a I wouldn't change anything. I learned a lot of this through a 12-step program, and unfortunately I had to really hit bottom before ego stepped aside. Yeah, complete ego devastation to me is humiliation. And that is what had to happen. I just didn't say, oh, I'm just not working out. I mean, I would wake up every day saying, I'm not doing this again. And by the end of the day, I'd be doing it again. And I just couldn't stop. It took the hand of God to punch me and split my face open before I had the door open enough that I would take a little bit of advice. But if it wasn't for that, I'd probably still be doing what I was doing. But it was... You know, and then later on, the program teaching me, you know, which I wish, you know, if it said we admitted we were powerless over self, that our lives would become unmanageable, it opened the door for all of us to take a look at it. But it says we admitted we were powerless over alcohol and that our lives would become unmanageable. And it really should say we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives would become unmanageable to everybody else. Because I was the last one to want to quit. Family had it, girlfriends had it, you know, jobs had it. I was the last one. And I probably would have hung in there a little longer, but finally made the choice.
Well, hey, that's something to be celebrated. I mean, and you use the word unfortunately, but I would use the word that it's an instrument that either through serendipity or divinity was put in front of you. And so that is a tool that was given to you to use. And whether it's a 12-step program or some other path that each and every one of us has a different journey to achieve that core contentedness and peacefulness within ourselves, right? Because that is what drives some of the malevolent behavior and some of the self-destructive behaviors that we don't have peace within ourselves.
Yeah.
And so there's an interesting story about God helping a person. And so the story goes something like this, you know, there's the middle of a storm and there's a guy out there and all the weather forecasts are that it's going to be a giant hurricane, it's going to be a huge flood, and it's going to wash away all the houses, right? And so this guy's sitting there and he says, I'm not leaving. I'm not leaving my house. I live here my whole life. I'm not leaving. God's going to come save me. So he's watching weather and they say, get out. You know, it's an evacuation notice. So God doesn't pay attention. About an hour later, flood comes rushing in and he gets on top of his roof and a helicopter comes by and the guy says, I'm not leaving my house. And God says, look, this is your last chance, man. You know, this is your last chance. You better get on. And he said, nope, God's going to save me. God's going to save me. And so the helicopter takes off, and he's sitting there, and about 20 minutes later, a raft comes floating down, bumps into it, and he says, nope, I'm gonna just wait here for God. And then all of a sudden, the storm overtakes him. He dies, and he's up at the pearly gates. He's talking to St. Peter, and he's looking at God. He says, what happened? He said, I thought you were going to be there for me. He said, I sent you an evacuation notice. I sent you a helicopter, and I sent you a raft. I mean, at some point, you have to take responsibility for you. I'm going to give you tools. And for you, it was a 12-step program. For me, it was engaging in this deep self-reflection. I found yoga, meditation, and deep levels of therapy. And my wife and I took our own individual journeys with therapy. And I am proud to admit that we looked under every nook and cranny of our own lives. And I looked and said, hey, there's some things that need to be given attention to. And so I think we all have tools, whether it's fitness or therapy or 12-step programs. And it is when we choose to capitalize on the opportunities that are available in terms of tools that we can dramatically improve the lives of ourselves and the people that we care for.
Yeah, I would say when we finally surrender.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Surrendering is the key.
You can't see this, but we're doing fist bumps.
We're doing knuckles right now. Well, listen, that was an hour. Thank you.
You're welcome, buddy.
I do another podcast called Sorry About Last Night, which would maybe be fun to do. I've never had a guest on there, but maybe that would be fun because that's all about, you know, I'm sorry about last night. It's all about life after putting down the drink. Not everything gets fixed. You know, I wish it was an allergy of alcohol, but it's really an allergy of self. So, but I do another podcast. Maybe that'd be fun to have you on there, because that's, you know, that's kind of where we headed with that.
Brother, I will take a deep dive with you all day, every day.
And I love it.
I believe in calling, I call everybody brothers and sisters, because I believe we are all connected.
I do,
and
too.
I don't care your race, your gender, your sexual preference, your religious preference. I think we're all brothers and sisters, and so I celebrate Stardust. That with you. There we go, man.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. So, listen, Canal Side End, pet friendly, won a bunch of awards. You're killing it down there. I love that spot. I love that. You know, I've been down there many times. I didn't realize quite what was going on, so I love that you came on, and now I know exactly what's going on. I think this is actually going to be, I think people are going to come out and look a little more. I'm sure you're busy. I'm sure we're not helping you, but I'm sure it's going to be, hopefully this will be a great summer that's coming up. Hopefully, I talked to somebody yesterday, said there was no new cases in the hospital of COVID, which is, since it started, this was the first time, so I thought that was some great news. Hopefully, you know, and we take what we learned a little bit through this whole pandemic and, you know, keep putting that forward into our lives. And so yeah. I hope it's a good summer for you. Thank you for coming on. And what's your website?
www.thecanalsideend.com. So www.thecanalsideend.com.
And your Instagram is just Canal Side Inn, I
think. At the Canal Side Inn.
But you can just
Instagram,
listen, if
Facebook.
You type in canal, you're the first one that comes up.
Yeah, we spend a lot of time on that.
Well, that's great.
Rising tide lifts all ships. Here's the deal. I think that as the city of Rehoboth continues to invest, and I think that we have great commissioners, we have people that are caring about it, and the city is on the rise continually. If we continue to treat people with goodness,
yep,
we bring them in, it's a safe environment, there's great food, wonderful beaches, lots of nature, and then we just give people an experience that they can't get anywhere else, we can all benefit from a better Rehoboth. And that doesn't mean you have to move here, by the way. Sometimes, you know, don't move here. Just come visit.
That might have been a little late.
That's right.
They all moved here.
Yeah.
Which is fine.
But thank you. Thank you for having me on. And
absolutely.
I wish you all good things in your life.
Well, it's not like I think I'll see you again. This is what happens. I become friends with people. And I'll be stopping by the Canal Inn on my bike to say good morning. This is my new thing, so I appreciate you, and good luck having a great summer, and we'll have you back on. Maybe we'll get you back on at the end of the summer and see how it went. Sounds good. We'll check in.
Cheers.
All right, Brian. Thanks, bud.